prayer? Does it sometimes just boggle your mind because you don't know what to pray? How do I pray? Do I just say the same old thing every single day? You know, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, you pray through me for this person. But you can also go to the Word of God, because the Word of God has prayers in it, especially Paul's epistles. And there you can learn what you ought to be praying for someone. And as you pray this way, you'll find joy in your heart. Book by book, verse by verse, that's the way we're going through the Bible. And oh, beloved, how important it is for you and I to know what God has to say. Do you realize that when we open the Bible, we're opening God's book, that these are the very words of God? And as Paul sat down to write his epistle to the church at Philippi, to the saints that are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, he wrote under divine inspiration. He was a holy man who was moved by the Holy Spirit, who wrote the very things that God wanted to say and God wanted to preserve for you and me today. So there are mighty, mighty lessons here, lessons for life. These are precepts for life, standards by which you and I can order our lives. And as we continue in Philippians chapter 1, we come to Paul talking about his prayer. Now remember, we said that prayer is a word that you always need to mark. Prayer or supplication or intercession, all of those have to do with communicating with God. And so what we want to do is we want to pick up and just look at verse 4. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So offering prayer in joy. Now, if you downloaded our study guide from the website, it shows you there how to mark the reference to prayer. And I just simply underline it. It's kind of like a bowl with a lip on it in purple, and then I color it pink. And anytime I'm reading through my Bible and I see that color and that shape, I know, hey, there's something there about prayer. So you can go to our website. It's preceptsforlife.com, and you can download absolutely free our study guide. That's preceptsforlife.com. And we're doing this because we want you to know God's Word for yourself. We want you to study it inductively. We want you to learn how to observe it, to discover what God is saying, how to interpret it, to discover what God means, and then how to apply it, how to live in the light of what you've learned, or how to change, as I do with my head, how to change your thinking so that your thoughts line up in conformity with God's. We want you to have a biblical world view. In other words, we want you to look at everything in this life through the lens, through the glasses of God's holy word, because this is absolute truth. So you mark prayer there, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So you know that Paul was a man of prayer. You know that he was praying for these people. Now the question is, what did he pray? Because if I can see what he prayed, then I can take what he prayed and I can apply it to my life and I can use it in praying for others. So we come down to verse 8, and this is where I left off with you. He says, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Now, I just want you to remember that term, affection of Christ Jesus, because we're going to see the importance of this term as we come to the end of Philippians chapter 1 and the beginning of Philippians chapter 2. But what you're seeing here is Paul's heart is in, it's aligned with God's heart. And because Paul's heart is aligned with God's heart, then Paul has the affection for the Philippians that Christ has for them. In other words, he says, I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. When Christ comes into your life, he sheds his love. God sheds his love abroad in your heart. So there is a love for others. There is an affection for others. There is a caring for others because now you're part of the family of God. You're never alone again. And we're members one of another. When one member rejoices, we rejoice. When one member suffers, we suffer. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ. So he goes on to say, in this I pray. And you would mark prayer again, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Now, when I come to the word love, I mark it also. And if it's just talking about human love, I just draw a red heart. If it's talking about love for God or love for Christ, I draw a red heart and I color the inside yellow. If I come to the word hate, I draw a black heart, color it black, and then I put a slash through it, which means it's not loving, it's hating. All right, so here he says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more. All right, he says, I want your love for God and your love for others to increase. And he talks about this in Thessalonians. And what you and I can learn is this, that as we walk with Christ, that as we mature, that as we grow up, as Ephesians 4 says, into the stature of the measure of a man or woman after Jesus Christ, like Jesus Christ, then as we grow, then our love abounds. And so he says, as I pray for you, this is what I'm praying. I pray that your love will abound more and more. You say, you know, I need my love to abound. Well, do you know that this tells us how? This tells us how love abounds. And hang on, it's going to surprise you. Love abounds more and more in real knowledge. In real knowledge. In other words, if you know the Word of God, if you have a real knowledge of the Word of God, not a secondhand knowledge, not a knowledge that you get from others that you're not sure whether they're right or whether they're wrong, or you may think they're all right because you see them do miracles or you hear them do wonderful exploits or because they're on a lot of television or a lot of radio or because they've written a lot of books and so you just follow them blindly. God doesn't want that. God wants you to have real knowledge for yourself. And real knowledge comes through knowing this book, through knowing the Word of God. Let me take you to a cross-reference I think that would be very helpful. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, and Peter starts his letter the same way, basically, that Paul does, grace and peace. And he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how is grace multiplied to me so that more and more and more I understand the benefits that I have in Christ and I appropriate them and I live in the light of that grace, grace that is power, grace that is sufficient for any need, grace that gets me through any situation. How grace is not only unmerited favor, but it's everything that Jesus Christ is, and it's been made available to you so that you stand, Romans 5, you stand in the grace of God, and standing in the grace of God, you're appropriating that grace. And he's saying that this grace might be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. In other words, the more you understand about God, the more that you understand about Jesus Christ, the greater your knowledge. And knowledge means that you know, and it means that you know truth. The greater that is, the greater is going to be your peace, the greater is going to be your grace, because you're going to appropriate that grace and peace is going to come with it. You know, I get a lot of letters, and I love hearing from you, and I love your emails. So keep them coming. Please encourage me in this way, but let me know where you're at and what you're thinking, what your questions are, because we're here. We're here to minister to you and to help you grow. But as I listen to these letters, many times people will say to me, like this letter here, like this one, and I found you on radio. From radio, I went to television. I found you on television. From television, I got started in the Bible studies. Now they're coming to the ministry. And this is what they said. They said, you know, I knew that there had to be more to Christianity than this. I knew that there had to be a way for me to know, listen to the word, for me to know God better. And I found it through Precept Ministries International. I found it because you taught me how to study God's Word for myself. And I've been hooked by the inductive method of Bible study forever. And we have all sorts of Bible studies to help you grow. And from 40-minute Bible studies that require no homework all the way up to our precept studies. And you can find out all about that by going to our website. Go to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and you can find out more about all the things we have to help you grow, to increase your knowledge. But then he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us, the true knowledge of God, who called us by his own glory and excellence. Let's just stop and think about that for a minute. He says that his divine power has granted to us everything, everything that you and I need in order to live life, everything that you and I need in order to be godlike. He has granted to us through the true knowledge of God, through the true knowledge of God. So if he's talking about a true knowledge, then you've got to know that there's a false knowledge, that there's a false teaching about Jesus Christ. And as you read through the epistles, especially Jude, and especially 2 Peter chapter 2, you're going to find false teachers giving out false knowledge. And the only way that you can separate the true from the false is to know the true. Do you know that when they teach people to find counterfeit money, that they never let them see counterfeit money? They only become so acquainted with real money, so acquainted with it, that the minute that something is put before them that is false, they can distinguish that it's not true because it is not according to what they have seen and known. And that's what this program is all about. This is what Paul's praying. And we'll talk about it more when we come back after this break. You are so dear to me. You are so dear. And I want you to know that I value you, that I appreciate you, that you are precious to me. And I thank you so much for loving God. I thank you so much for wanting to know His Word. I thank you so much for your diligence and discipline in studying along with me. And I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God that as you gain this knowledge and as you live in the light of it, as you discern the issues of life, then I can promise you that when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, you will not be ashamed, because there is a day of reckoning. As Paul is praying for those at Philippi, as he is praying in verse 9 that their love will abound still more and more in real knowledge, not false knowledge, but in real knowledge and all discernment, he tells you why. There's a so that there. There's a result there. Why is he praying that their love will abound through knowledge? Because listen, the more that you know God, the more intimate you become with Him, the more you fall in love with Him. And the more you fall in love with Him, the more you want to obey Him. And the more you love Him and obey Him, the more then you're going to love others. Because it's a compelling force. Love of God is like a wall on both sides that shuts you up to one purpose, that constrains you. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The love of Christ constrains me. In other words, it is shutting me up. I know how much God loves me, and I, because I know that love, then this shuts me up to one purpose. And he's saying, I'm praying this, that your love will abound in more and more in all, in real knowledge and in all discernment. Discernment means you just don't swallow everything that you hear. And if somebody presents themselves to you as a child of God, it does not necessarily mean that they are a true child of God. And it does not necessarily mean that they've got a corner on the truth. Watch and go to the Word of God, and that will give you discernment. Discernment is learning how to look at something and evaluate it in a correct way. And so he's saying that the love that God is going to give you, that this love that's going to abound in your life is going to be a discerning love. In Chronicles, when Jehoshaphat returns from battle and his life is spared and Ahab is killed, all of a sudden a prophet is before Jehoshaphat and he says, you know, God has something against you. And that is, should you love those who hate the Lord? Should you love those who hate the Lord? Yes, we are to love. And yes, God loves the whole world. But we're not to love in the sense of coming along and helping those that hate the Lord. We're to give them the gospel. We're to love them in that way. But we're not to continue to love them in their evil deeds and just to applaud them and encourage them and say, oh, that's all right. We're all going to end up the same place. No, we're not. No, we're not. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And listen, before a person is cast into the eternal lake of fire, there's a great white throne judgment, and they're judged according to their deeds. Before a person enters into the glories of heaven, so to speak, and I'm talking about the new kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, there is a judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment seat of Christ where we are given rewards or where we lose rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10 says that we must all stand at the judgment of God, at the judgment seat of God. So there is a time coming when God is going to evaluate our works as Christians, and we will be rewarded or we will lose reward. Now, we believe that that's what Paul means by the day of Christ. He's mentioned the day of Christ in verse 6. He says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. In verse 10, he says, so that you may approve. He's praying that their love will abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that, purpose clause, you may approve the things that are excellent. In other words, you have knowledge, you have discernment, you have a love that is governing you. And so you look at things, and what you do is you approve the things that are excellent. You put them to the test. Approve is the word dokimos in the Greek, D-O-K-I-M-O-S. And it means to put to the test for the sake of approving, for the sake of finding it, that it meets the qualifications. And so he says, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. Now watch, another purpose cause. In order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. God intends for you and I to live a sincere Christianity. God intends for you and I to live, for you and me to live in a way that is blameless so that people can't look at us and accuse us. Now, how do we help others to live that way? We help others to live that way by praying for them, even as Paul is praying. So if you have children, pray for them. If you have a husband or a wife, pray for that person. Pray for the people in church. Pray for Christendom in general. Pray that their love will abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. One of the things that I pray repeatedly is that God would create within our nation a real hunger for the Word of God, a real desire to know truth, because the Word is truth. Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So I'm praying for hunger for that. All right, so he's praying for this so that they may approve the things that are excellent so that, or in order that, they will be sincere. Now, what does sincere mean? Well, they took the word and they put it into Latin, and it was the word sincera, S-I-N-E, and then C-E-R-A. And what they would do is when they made a plate, and this is not fine china, because fine china wouldn't show up well on a television thing, and besides, I don't want to break it. So anyway, this plate they would take and put on the back, sincera, would be a stamp on the back. And they would put that stamp on the back, which meant it was without wax. Because when you take fine china and you fire it, you put it in the oven and you bake it, sometimes it gets a crack. And so in order to cover up the crack and sell it as if it were unblemished, what they would do is they would rub wax into it, into the crack, and then they would paint over it. When they covered it up with that glaze, what they were doing is they were hiding the crack with the wax. The only way that you could tell that it was there is if you took each piece of china and you held it up to the light. And when you held it up to the light, now I'm talking about fine china, you would see the crack in it. The light showed the defect. The light showed what had been covered up by the wax. That's why they would put on the back of fine china, sincera, without wax. In other words, you do not need to hold it up to the light because there are no cracks in it. What is Paul's concern? Paul's concern is this, beloved, that when they stand at the day of Christ, they be without wax, they be without faults, that they be sincere, sincera, that they be blameless at the day of Christ. This is what you need to pray. This is our pattern for prayer here, and this is what you can do for those that you love. You can pray the way Paul prayed.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Oh, beloved, as we bring this program to a close, let's distill what we've learned. Let's look at God's precepts for life so that we might apply them. When you look at this passage, what you can see is that Paul longed for these people with the affection of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ wants you to be the very best that you can be. Christ does not want you to hang your head in shame when you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. He doesn't want anybody to hang their head in shame. And He's made total provision for you and I to be everything that we should be. He's made total provision through the Word, because the Word gives us real knowledge. And when we have real knowledge, then we have discernment. And when we have discernment and real knowledge, then we are able to put to the test what is good and what is false. And what He wants here is that you and I might approve, that we might approve the things that are excellent, so that at the end of our life, will be without wax, so to speak. No cracks that need to be covered up, but we would be sincere and we would be without blame at the day of Christ. That's what God wants. And what is the result of this? Well, look at verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness. Now, what does it mean, being filled with the fruit of righteousness? It means that when you and I live according to God's knowledge, according to God's truth, when we are discerning about life, when we measure everything by the plumb line, which is a symbol of precept ministries, to see if it's straight, and we live accordingly, then we're living righteously. And when we live righteously, there's a fruit that is produced. And it's a righteous lifestyle, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Beloved, here's what Paul prays. He prays it for you. He prays it for me. And you and I are to pray it for one another. Would you pray this for me? And I will pray it for you, so that you and I, when we stand on that day of Christ and we stand before Him, we do not hang our head in shame, but we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that results in glory and praise to God, to whom belongs all honor and glory and praise and power and dominion.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.